Turn with me tonight to Daniel chapter 3. You know, we asked the question, what will the test be? What will be the temptations? What will it be like? In the days of the Antichrist, what will it be like in the last days? How will it come about that, people will walk away from the faith? We don't really know. But we have an example here in Daniel of the testings of difficult days. And we know that everything in the Bible has been chosen by God, specifically in His will to be given for the people of God. And there's always a purpose. It's probably always bigger than we ever would understand. But as I thought about that question, as I thought about Daniel chapter 3, I thought about, well, what is God trying to teach us here? And I think He's trying to teach us what will be the tests like in the last days, in the days of apostasy. What will the devil use to cause people to walk away from their relationship with God and just slide down and down and down and down, little bit by little bit? You know, I was in Hungary at ordination of pastor there in Bible Baptist Church. And I had the privilege of meeting a Romanian pastor. A pastor who had stood true to God under the ruthless reign of, I think it was Ceausescu, and in Romania. A terrible persecution, but there's also a great revival in Romania before the Iron Curtain fell down. And he had a number of friends who stood true to the Lord under that time of great persecution. Number of men in the ministry. So I talked to him that night. I remember on Pastor Jim's balcony, he said, all of them have compromised now. I'm the only one that stood true to the faith. All of those men who stood true to God under persecution, every one of them today have compromised. There are specific kinds of testings in the last days. What are they? Well, we find here in Daniel 3, that Nebuchadnezzar, verse 1, made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits. That's about 90 feet. That's pretty tall. And the breadth thereof, 6 cubits. About 9 feet wide, 90 feet high. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So you see, all the officials of the kingdom of Babylon were being put through a test of loyalty to Nebuchadnezzar. And we know that in the kingdom that Daniel had a high position, and his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did as well. In verse 4, it says, "And the herald cried aloud, and to you it is commanded, O people, nations, languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye shall fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." And so, the music plays. Well, all the officials are gathered together. Among them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel's not there. He's out of town on official business, as far as we know. "Wherefore, at that time, certain," it says, "all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, the languages, fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. And they spake and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace." And they had one burning right then. But he says, "I want you to know there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." And then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. So we see a very simple test. The simple test. What's the test? The test to compromise the normal aspects of your faith. The test to compromise the normal aspects of your faith. Later on, we saw the same thing. It was a decree was made that no prayer should be offered to anybody but the ruler. They tricked him into it. And we read about Daniel. Now forbidden to pray. Kind of basic, isn't it? Here, kind of basic. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of anything in heaven or anything on earth, and bow down before it in worship. Very simple. Idolatry. All you had to do to keep your job and not go to the burning fiery furnace was bow down before Nebuchadnezzar, his image. Keep your job, keep your life. That's all you had to do. Well, I mean, isn't that it? The most important thing in life is to keep your job and to keep your life. Isn't that the most important thing? Keep your job and keep your life. I mean, that's all they had to do to keep their job and keep their life. Bow down before this image. And I suppose people would say, well, all you had to do is have your fingers crossed. You know, put your fingers crossed, you know. You know, in the time of Caesar, of the Roman Empire, in the great persecution under Diocletian and others, where you had emperor worship, all you had to do was eat meat offered in worship of the emperor. That's all you had to do. Probably tasted pretty good. Might have been a T-bone steak. I mean, it's just a piece of meat. That's all you had to do. Eat it. Eat that meat offered in worship of Caesar. You could cross your fingers. Under your breath, you could say, I reject it. I don't believe it. Didn't matter. All you had to do was eat the meat offered in worship of the emperor. No problem, right? Just a piece of meat. Just a piece of meat. That's how people think today, right? Hey, just a piece of meat, no problem. Probably tasted good. But you have to acknowledge the emperor as worthy of worship. The test, the compromise, the norms of your faith. That's all. Bow down to an image. Don't pray. Don't pray publicly. Talking to a Romanian lady. And I said to her, did you go to church in Romania? Go to Baptist church? No, we were Orthodox. We didn't go to church because my parents were teachers. That means they were members of the Communist Party. And they were teachers. And so we had to hide our faith. Well, that is no faith at all. That's no faith at all. For a job, for promotion, for ease, for lack of persecution, don't practice your faith. I mean, everybody's got to eat. Why have your kids go through trouble? Why have a difficult life? You can believe God in your heart, but publicly, just follow the plan. What is the test? Compromise the norms of your faith. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner some is. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, pretty soon, you won't be able to work in the public sector. Pretty soon you won't be able to work in the public sector. Well, you can, but you have to follow their rules. You can't witness. You know, some jobs in the public sector, you can't witness. You know, in many school districts, in public education, you can't talk about God, can you? One teacher gave a student, asked her for a Bible. She gave it to her, and she was fired. Student asked for it. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But the government says you can't. Government says you can't. Silence! required. Kind of already honest, isn't it? And Mr. Pye was telling me that when he goes to Oklahoma, he's telling our class that when he goes to this Walmart in Oklahoma, that he never gets out of there without at least one, two, or three people giving him a tract. Walmart in Mequonago. Manager came up to me and said, "Now, it's against policy to give these religious things to our workers. And I don't want you ever doing that again." And she wanted me to promise I wouldn't do it. She said, "I guess you aren't getting what I'm saying." I said, "Hey, you know, what if God told me to give them one? You know what? They got a soul." So rather than have a big confrontation, I just said, "Maybe you want me to leave right now." That way it would keep her quiet for a few minutes, and next time I go to the store, I could give the tract to the person I wanted to. But, go into all the world, preach the gospel. You know, the test is to compromise the norms of your faith. That's all they asked. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Just bow down to the image. That's all you got to do. You know, don't be different. You know, your job's at the line. And besides that, your life. Hey, you got kids. Well, they didn't have kids, did they? Nope, they're eunuchs. But, quite a test. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about accreditation in these colleges. I remember Dr. Searholm having a private conversation with him. He says, "You know, we don't really want any doctorates here at Maranatha. We only want doctorates that have come through the ranks here. Those kind of doctorate degrees are acceptable. The people who've come through the ranks at Maranatha and believe like we believe. The downfall of this school will be to get doctorates in here who have not been trained at Maranatha." When the transition came to Maranatha, the man who was behind bringing the accreditation to Maranatha, he made sure that the man who had been picked by Dr. Searholm to get his doctorate, who had come up through the ranks of Maranatha, was made so miserable that he would quit. You know, the government has a lot of power, doesn't it? The system has a lot of power to accomplish what it wants to be accomplished. And the system and the world is asking us to forsake that which is normal and right. That's all they're going to ask, to forsake that which is normal and right. And so, now we have Obamacare. Every company over 50 employees has to provide health insurance that provides abortion services and devices and medicine required by law. What are you going to do? That means you're either going to have an awful good legal team that I doubt would be able to fight the political agenda of the government, or you would dare not have a business with more than 50 employees. Coming soon. I don't know. You know what, Ricky, how many employees do we have? 30-something. That doesn't include the pastors. 30 employees. This is a pretty small place. 30 employees, doesn't take much more. Get up to 50. Temptation, the test, is to compromise the norms of your faith. Who wants to have a lawsuit with the government? Here's a baker, says, I will not bake a cake for a homosexual married wedding. Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of fines. Thousands of dollars of fines. Just because he chose not to bake a cake for a homosexual marriage. How many people are willing to lose all their wealth over a principle? How many people are willing to pay the price to practice their faith? Now, you know what? That doesn't include something. That doesn't include the subtle tests. We're talking about Daniel, the governor, says, don't do this. But what about the subtle tests? You know what I mean? What about materialism? What about money? How about living for comfort? How about pleasure? I remember interviewing a lady from, praise the Lord, Cane Vacation Bible School, said, you know, I'd like to maybe send one of our children to your school. And I said, well, you know, students are supposed to be at Sunday morning, Sunday night service. And I says, your church doesn't have Sunday night service. You'd have to attend here. And she's saved. Big shot in their church. And she says, oh, we couldn't do that. We're just way too busy on Sundays to go to church on Sunday night. We're just way too busy. Huh? What's the difference? Well, the government says you can't go to church. Or materialism and pleasure seeking takes your heart away not to go to church. What's the difference? Nothing. My friend from Romania said, when the government said, we'll put you in jail for preaching the gospel and staying in truth, they stood true. But when the American Western Christianity came with all its money and its rock music, they said, bring it on. They fell for Western money. What about the gods of culture? What about the god of culture? You know the two gods of Africa? Go anywhere in Africa, among Afro-Americans, Africans, speaking about black people, you say Africa's the same everywhere. They got two gods. The god of money and the god of culture. Doesn't matter what the Bible says, those two gods rule. You'd think, oh, how could those poor people live that way? How could money be their god? Paul was telling me a story of the church in Ireland. They had African family immigrants come there when they were having their school. And the children were in the school. And both children surrendered to the Lord's work. The next week, the kids were out of school. The parents said, you're not going to waste your life serving God. We moved here to make money. And that's the way it is in all of Africa. Don't waste your life to serve God. Is it here in America? Huh? What about young people? Is it here in America? Don't waste your life serving God. Make money. Have fun. Live for pleasure. Don't waste your life serving God. Huh. You know what the norm is? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Huh. Reasonable, normal. To want to live for God. Young people wanting to live for God. Culture says don't waste your life. Don't waste it. You see, the test is already here, isn't it? Test is already here. I remember when the Moors went to Africa. Their children were younger. Young teenagers. And the boys of Africa, the kids, the Africans of Africa, they said, why are you coming here? This is H-E-L-L. Why would you leave America to come here? And they said, we came here to rescue you from H-E-L-L. The real one. Yep. It's still the God of Africa. All of Africa. Money. Our missionaries have a very difficult time. Without concentrated prayer on the people of God, they will not break that God. It's very difficult. You see, it's already happening. It's already happening. The test. So, under communism, they said, you cannot bring your children to church. No one under 18 is allowed in church. And so, they had the Baptist Church, Baptist Union Church in Russia, part of the world, the World Council of Churches. And the World Baptist Union, same World Baptist Union that the Southern Baptists are members of today and were, cooperating with the government, no children under 18 allowed. And so all these gray-haired Christians going to church, leaving their kids at home with grandma and grandpa. Churches were no kids, no kids. George Evans and his friends, preacher's friends, say, you know what? If we don't stand up for what's right, we are going to lose our kids. And we're going to lose them to hell. Oh, preach whatever you want. Don't preach about too much, though, about heaven and hell and about the new birth. Don't preach about that too much, but preach whatever you want. And you got to have a communist on your deacon board. And you got to have microphones in the church. We want to listen to the people's prayers. But you can worship God. And they said, okay, we'll do it. Catholics did it. Russian Orthodox did it. Baptists did it. Yep. Compromise the norms of your faith. Does the Bible say, isn't that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures? Yeah. Don't teach your children the Bible. Any child that gets baptized will not go to the university. Any person who gets baptized will not go to university. They'll not have a good job. They'll lose their job. Their children won't be able to go to university. They will be laborers and paupers the rest of their lives. We have the same thing in America, just different words, right? Just different words. So the answer, what is the answer? You know, it's kind of simple. What's the answer? The test is to stop living the normal facets of your faith. Witnessing, soul winning, praying, going to church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, raising your children for God, etc., etc. Living separate from the world. Don't do it. If you do, you'll pay the price. Nowadays, you know, they got a price to pay too. You know what the price to pay is today? You practice your faith the way the Bible says, I guarantee you, you're going to have a small church. That's the threat today. You want to have standards? You want to have conservative music? You want to have a biblical church? Guarantee you, small church. Same threat. What's the answer? The answer is obvious. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Period. We will continue to do what is right, no matter what the cost. We will continue to do what is right, no matter what the cost. We'll continue to witness, and we will witness, and we're not going to take a job where they forbid us to witness. And we are not going to pay for abortions. And if we have to lose our tax-exempt status, because we won't hire homosexuals. We'll have to lose our tax-exempt status. Whatever it is. We're not going to stop doing what's right. Hey, don't you know, preacher? Don't you know that preaching against unisex clothing will guarantee that you're going to have a small church? Guarantee it. And if you don't get with it on your music, guarantee you. Small church. Don't go soul winning. Don't go soul winning. Don't dare have standards. People don't want standards nowadays. You know that. People don't want standards. No, I'm talking about the religious crowd. I'm talking about the Baptist establishment. Don't have standards. You know, it's kind of interesting. It's kind of common sense to me. Did you know? Do you ever take time to think about it? Churches, the stronger standards, or churches with strong standards, with hard preaching, preach against sin, preach against the world, preach against godless music, preach about soul winning. Did you ever notice? In those kind of churches, young people go in the Lord's work. Did you ever notice that churches that don't have standards, they don't preach hard against sin, don't preach against unisex clothing and all that stuff, did you ever notice? They don't have hardly any kids going to the Lord's work. Did you ever notice that? If you didn't, you need to take notice of it. Some people who've been around the country, they'll tell you that's exactly the truth. Sad thing is, the Bible colleges are the ones that are trying to tell us to compromise, throw away our standards. And then they tell the churches they aren't sending them strong enough students anymore. They're the problem. But you know what the answer is? George Yavin said, okay, fellas, let's make a covenant. We're going to do what's right no matter what the cost. We're going to take our kids to church. We're going to have them in church. We're going to be preaching. We're going to be evangelizing. The government isn't going to have anything to do with our churches. We're going to preach repentance. And you know, in those churches, when someone got saved, you know how they did it, don't you? Say, hey, want to get saved? All right, come on. Right up here to the front. Right here before the microphone. They quizzed him on repentance. They quizzed him. You want to follow the world? You want to dress like the world? You willing to forsake all that? Et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, I want to get saved. Okay, you can get saved. Right now, let's pray and call upon Christ to save you publicly. Yeah. You know what they had in their churches? Revival. Revival. So what is the answer? Don't stop doing what's right. Here it is. Whatever it is that's subtly going to come that says, stop going to church on Sunday night or stop going to church on Wednesday night. You know, life is way too busy to go to church on Wednesday night. Guess what? That's part of the temptation. That's part of the subtle effort to rob Christianity of its place in your life. Subtle effort. The job comes by. Hey, $30,000 more a year. Well, maybe a month. Yeah. But you know what? Once a year, you're going to have to take out the chief executives to such and such a restaurant, and you're going to have to buy their drinks. That's all you got to do. Go buy their drinks. That's all you got to do. Oh, I know what we can do. We'll change the Bible. We'll change the Bible. We'll write a book and says Jesus drank alcoholic beverage. He only watered it down a lot. But he drank alcoholic beverage. We'll write a book and now it's okay to do that. What's the percentage of Christianity believes in social drinking? Did you ever quiz Bible college professors and ask them if they really believe that Jesus drank alcoholic beverage? You might be shocked. People need to know how to ask the right questions. I don't think that's in every Bible college, but I know it's in most of them. What's the answer? Continue to do what's right. Not going to stop going to church Wednesday night. Not going to stop going soul winning. Not going to stop passing out tracts. I'm not going to stop living differently. I'm not going to stop, being separate from the world. Whatever it is. Okay? Then the last point is, leave the consequences to God. Don't stop doing what's right. Number three, leave the consequences to God. If so be our God whom we serve, he's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. You can't touch our soul, O king. Praise the Lord. But if not, let it be known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Whatever happens, it happens. That was the answer. Whatever happens, happens. That's faith. George Vinn says, whatever happens, happens. But we're not going to let the government tell us how to run our churches. Don't let the consequences determine your actions. Don't let the consequences determine your actions. Now think about it. America is a result-oriented society, isn't it? Right? The megachurch movement is result-oriented churchianity. Whatever gets the numbers, whatever is so-called success, everything has to do with the consequences, the results. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says it doesn't matter what the results are. We are not going to bow down before your image. Now let me ask you a question, young people. Do you think that way? I don't care what happens. I'm going to do right. I don't care what happens. I'm going to do right. You're going to have to stop looking at what's he doing? What are they doing? What are they doing? Well, I guess they're doing it. No, forget the consequences. But notice what happened. They threw him in the fire, and the furnace was exceeding hot. Verse 22, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He found out the best, the strongest, the most loyal men in his army. And he says, okay, give me the best, most loyal, strongest, best soldiers. I need someone who's going to carry out this command. And they did. And in the process of carrying out the command, they died. The fire was so hot. Just throwing them in the fire, they sizzled. But guess what happened? Verse 23, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. And King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake, and said, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered, oh, of course, oh, true, O king. He answered, lo, I see four men loose. Four! There are three in there, there's four. I thought you put three in there. No, there's four in there. There's another guy walking in there. They're all walking around. Wow. The three got sizzled throwing them in, but the rest are in the fire walking around. They have no hurt. And the form is like the Son of God. Wow. The fellowship of his sufferings. Fellowship of his sufferings. Verse 27. The princes, governor, captains, king, counselor being gathered together saw these three men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Wow. You know why? They weren't afraid of the consequences. That's why. They weren't afraid of the consequences. You know why revival came to Russia under the Iron Curtain? Because there's men who said, we'll go to jail. We're gonna train our children for God. I remember reading about a man who's in jail. In jail 3, 4, 5 times. He'd get out for a few months. His wife would become pregnant. Get thrown back in jail. He had 3 or 4 or 5 boys. But he was in jail most of their life. They didn't have a daddy. You know, according to the psychologists, they'd say, these kids will never live for God. They don't have a daddy and he's in jail. And they certainly want to be preachers. They'll reject everything. Guess what? Opposite happened. These boys said, I want to preach. And they were on fire preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because their daddies weren't afraid of the consequences. There was men who said, I'm not afraid of the consequences. And, you know, and I'm not just saying men, I'm saying women too. Because in the Russian underground Baptist church, it wasn't underground. You know, when there was a marriage in that church, part of the marriage vows was the woman was willing to let her husband go to jail, would never prevent him from doing what's right, et cetera, et cetera. That's real Christianity. You know what? When people aren't afraid of the consequences, you know what happens? Revival! That's what happens. That's what they experienced there in Babylon. There's a revival. Nebuchadnezzar, he says, I make a decree every people, nation, language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Wow. You know what? They never would have known there was such a God if they had been willing to do right and pay whatever consequences were going to come. You know, that's what we need today. We need to have the faith to leave the consequences to God. We need to have the faith to realize that our faith is the most important thing. Money, applause, approval of the world, all this stuff doesn't count. But it's there. Whether it's the world and its subtle system of comfort and pleasure and love of things and sports and all these things that are supposed to be unimportant have become way too important. Who had ever thought that churches would have Sunday afternoon services so everybody could watch the Super Bowl? What? How could that be so important? Well, I guess that's not quite as bad as churches not even having Sunday night service. There's a ton of them. All over the place. I don't care what they are. Evangelical free, community, Assembly of God. Almost none of them have Sunday night services anymore. Used to. Guess what? What was it? What was it? You know, if you eat this meat offered to Caesar, you can live. Practice your Christianity. What meat did they eat? They lost their soul. They lost their hunger for God's word. They lost their hunger for preaching of the Bible. They lost their sense of fervency for the things of God. That they don't want to go to. What meat was it they were offered? They closed down church Sunday night. That's where we're at, aren't we? The testings are difficult days. The test to compromise the norms of the Christian faith. Compromise the norms of the Christian faith. That's what it's going to be like in the last days. I asked Dr. Peterson, my seminary professor, I said, you know, Dr. Peterson, you rub shoulders with the Winogers and the Cedar Holmes and a lot of these early fundamentalist leaders. I said, do you think they could imagine they ever imagined what would be going on in fundamentalism today? He said, It would have been totally unthinkable in their minds what's going on. They couldn't imagine it. It would just be so far, they could never have imagined it. But what is it? It's the test to compromise the norms of your faith. Hey, young people. What do you think about it? What would it take for you not to come to Sunday night service? Oh, what would it take for you not to go to Sunday school? What would it take for you not to come to prayer meeting? What would it take? Huh. Now we're down to normal Christian living, aren't we? Yeah, we're already there, aren't we? We're already there. It's no big deal. Take the mark of the beast. I never do that. Well, praise the Lord, we won't be in tribulation. Maybe. Hopefully not. Hopefully nobody here will go through it. Only way you'd go through it is if you're unsaved. Wow, he said, never do that. But the devil has got a lot of great excuses for us to set aside the norms of our faith. And that's about how he brings the apostasy in. The test of difficult days. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were living examples to us what it takes to be faithful to God in difficult times. Just keep on doing what's right. Just keep on doing what is right. And leave the consequences with you. And thank you, Lord, for the encouragement, the example of revival, of a working of God that comes when people by faith continue to do what is right. And see through all the intricate deceptions of the devil and the world and the world system and fallen man and a wicked government and decaying Christianity. Thank you that, Lord, you promise that you're able to keep us from falling. And may, Lord, you give us wisdom through the simple truths of the Word of God. Now our heads are bowed, Lord, I pray you'd work in hearts. That truly, Lord, you might be able to accomplish something in our lives. With heads bowed and eyes closed.